Turn, please, to the book of 1 Timothy. Just going to share a little history with you while you're turning there. Primarily, we're going to be in the books of 1 and 2 Timothy throughout the lesson today. According to Bible commentaries, the book of 1 Timothy was written by the Apostle Paul. It was either right before or during the time the Apostle Paul was in prison in Rome, somewhere around the period of AD 64. Paul wrote the first letter to Timothy. Timothy was a young pastor of the church in Ephesus. This book or this letter was to encourage Timothy and to provide him spiritual guidance to help him in his role as a leader of the church. It is recorded that the primary reason behind Paul writing this letter is during that time, Timothy was facing pressures, conflicts, challenges from within the church. Did you hear me right? And the surrounding culture. So Paul wrote to encourage Timothy to answer some questions and to give him guidance. In addition to addressing those matters, Paul's primary point in this letter to Timothy was to charge him to remain strong in his faith and not let go of his confidence in God or his word. Now, for those who checked out and said, well, I ain't a pastor, it don't apply to me. Wrong. While it's addressed to Timothy, who was the pastor of the church in Ephesus, the books of 1 and 2 Timothy also provide key principal foundational truths to help every Christian learn, grow, develop, and stay steady in their walk in Christ. And if you're like me, do you need to learn? Do you need to grow? Do you need to stand steady in your walk in Christ? So we're going to benefit from the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy. So turn, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to actually be walking through the various chapters of 1 and 2 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to be reading primarily in the New Living Translation. And it says, this letter is from Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, appointed by the command of God our Savior and Christ Jesus, who gives us hope. I am writing to Timothy, my true son in the faith. May God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord give you grace, mercy, and peace. I'm going to drop down to verse 5. The purpose of my instruction is that all believers will be filled with love that comes from a pure heart, a clean conscience, and genuine faith. Say genuine faith. Genuine. Key verse 6. But some people have missed this point. Drop down to verses 18 and 19. Timothy, my son, here are my instructions for you based on the prophetic words spoken about you earlier. May they help you fight well in the Lord's battles. Whose battles are we fighting? But it's a fixed fight, right? God already declared we win. Verse 19, cling to your faith in Christ and keep your conscience clear. I'm going to read it again. Cling to your faith in Christ, not in circumstances, not in conditions, not in society, not in culture, not in popularity, not in wealth. What is our faith supposed to be in? In Christ. And keep your conscience clear. For some have deliberately violated their consciences. As a result, their faith has been shipwrecked. I'm going to read verses 18 and 19 in the Amplified Bible. Makes it a little bit clearer. This charge and admonition I commit and trust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with prophetic intimations which I formerly received concerning you, so that inspired and aided by them, you may wage the good warfare, holding fast to faith. Say that with me, holding fast to faith. Now I'm reading. That leaning of your entire human personality on God. Who are we leaning on? God. Not in our culture, not in our education, not in our family creed, not in our wealth, not in society, not in the government. Who are we leaning on? Amen. Now, verses 18, I'm going to make it a little bit more clearer. Verses 18 and 19 out of the Message Bible. Paul says, I'm passing this work on to you, my son Timothy. The prophetic word that was directed to you prepared us for this. All those prayers are coming together now, so you will do this well. Fearless in your struggle, keeping a firm grip on your faith and on yourself. After all, this is a fight we're in. There are some, you know, who by relaxing their grip and thinking anything goes, have made a thorough mess of their faith. Why? Because they relax their grip, they relax their faith, they relax their hope and their confidence in God. It became a little bit of God and a lot of society. It became a little bit of God and what I think is right. It became a little bit of God and what my father or my mother told me, and that's not necessarily the Bible. But what this scripture says here, some relax their grip and they think anything goes. And by doing that, they've made a thorough mess of their faith. I'm going back to the Amplified Bible. Paul says in verses 18 and 19, holding fast to faith, that leaning of your entire human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence. The title of today's message is Hold Fast, Stand Steady. Because just as the Apostle Paul had to tell Timothy in a climate and a culture where there was a lot going on, Ephesus was like a popular city at the time. And so you take New York City with all of its glamour and all of its wealth and all that it draws people to, and the arts and the sports and the entertainment and all of the commerce and all of the things that people are drawn to these big glamorous cities about. But you know, in those cities, there are all kinds of spirits and there's all kinds of temptation and there's all kinds of voices and there's all kinds of opinions. Oh, no, no, no. You don't have to read your Bible. You know, spirit says, whose spirit? Well, I believe there is a God. I believe there's more than one way to God. How many of us have heard that? So Ephesus at the time was this great metropolitan area and all of the commerce and wealth, but there was a lot going on even within the church. And so the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, hold fast to your faith. In what you were first believed, in what you were saved in, and who you trusted, God alone. Because no matter where you go in life, no matter what positions or levels that you walk through, the foundation of your life as a Christian must be faith in God and in His Word. And if it's in God and in His Word, then there are statutes, there are principles, and there are characteristics that God requires of His children. That's what makes us different. So today we're going to talk primarily about hold fast. I believe on Wednesday we're going to go to stand steady. I believe. The term hold fast in Webster's dictionary says something to which something else may be firmly secured. Something else to hold or secure something in place. So I'm not a construction person, but the Holy Spirit gave me this morning. Those of you that know anything about walls and constructions and rooms, there's something called a load-bearing wall. So it holds up the support, the structure of the room, the building. You don't pull out a load-bearing wall because all of the other structures, parts of that structure are going to fall. Because that load-bearing wall is holding them up, is supporting them. Well, that's what our faith is. You don't pull down your faith. Because if you no longer have faith in God, in His Word, and who He is, what is your Christianity based on? Hello? So, our faith is our load-bearing wall. Now, according to the book of 1 Timothy, we are to hold fast to our faith in God and His Word. It is our faith in God and His Word that causes us to remain secure, and we are able to stand steady in the face of uncertain and sometimes uncomfortable changes in life, in culture, in the government, in the economy, and even in the church, the body of Christ. According to Bible commentary, Paul's second letter to Timothy was written while Paul was in prison in Rome, around the period of AD 66, and it was shortly before Paul was executed. But yet in prison, Paul wrote an encouraging letter to his spiritual son to tell him more about standing steady and holding fast. In addition to the encouragement in 2 Timothy, Paul also told Timothy that the days were coming where Christians would depart or turn away from their faith in God and His Word. Now, this was then. Think about now. How many times have we heard, not just prominent leaders, but people in the body of Christ that have mixed and mingled and tampered with the Word of God, and their faith has become shipwrecked because they did not stand steady, they did not hold fast, they did not maintain the principle or the foundation of their Christianity. Also in the book of 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul tells Timothy that he knows the time of his death is soon to come. So please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. I'm still in the New Living Translation. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I have been sent out to tell others about the life God has promised through faith in Jesus Christ. I am writing to Timothy, my dear son. May God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord give you grace, mercy, and peace. Drop down to verse 5. Paul says, I remember your genuine faith. Say genuine faith. The fact that Paul says genuine faith tells me that it's possible to have counterfeit faith. Now let's do a little bit of examination. How many, and don't raise your hand, this is self-examination, only you and God know about it. How many of us have, throughout our walk as a Christian, really felt we were in faith about something? We believed God, we knew the Word, we were standing, and something happened that shook us. And all of a sudden it was, well, I don't really know. Maybe God didn't mean that. Or we were believing something we were taught and we thought it was scriptural. We thought it was the Bible because prophet so-and-so said it. Bishop so-and-so said it. Pastor so-and-so said it. Someone we respect in ministry said it, and it sounded right. It made sense and it was comfortable to us until and when the Holy Spirit got our attention and said, check out the Word. Does that line up with the Word of God? Anybody but me ever been there? I know I'm in good company. So when Paul says to Timothy, I remember your genuine faith, he's commending him that in the midst of the pressures and the conflicts and the changes in culture and society and people swinging from left to right, they love this today, they hate it tomorrow, they're good with this today, they're bad with it tomorrow. Paul was saying to Timothy, I remember your genuine faith, the foundation of your life. For you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know that same faith continues strong in you. Drop down to verses 8 and 9. So never be ashamed to tell others about the Lord. And don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for Him. Isn't that good? Here is a man who's in prison for God. He didn't break any law. They couldn't find a law that Paul broke. But he was in prison for doing the will of God. And he says, I'm not ashamed of these chains. I'm in prison for Him. with the strength God gives you. He's talking to Timothy and he's talking to us. Be ready to suffer for me, suffer with me for the sake of the good news. The Bible says those who will live righteously will suffer persecution. Yes, I didn't write that. It's in the word. It's not to scare us. It's not to daunt us. It's not to get us to back off or give up. It's to tell us that when it happens, make sure your faith is anchored in Christ Jesus. Make sure your faith is rooted in God and not another thing, not another person, not another possession, not another habit, not another mindset, but the word of God and what he said is sure. Verse 9, for God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it. We did not get saved by our good looks, but because that was his plan, God's plan, from the beginning of time to show us his grace through Christ Jesus. Drop down to verses 11 through 13. Paul is now declaring why he's in prison. And God chose me to be a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of this good news. That is why I am suffering here in prison. But I am not ashamed of it, for I know the one in whom I trust. Do you know the one in whom you trust? And I'm sure that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until the day of his return. Verse 13 is key. Hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching you learned from me. I don't care how many translations of the Bible comes out. I don't care how many conferences and seminars and all of these wonderful means of positive thinking and affirmative thinking. And if you want it, you can just have it. And it doesn't line up with the word of God. I'm here to tell you, hold on to the word of God that you have been taught, and everything else that comes your way, filter it through the word of God, filter it through the Holy Spirit. And if it does not line up, put it on a shelf. Put it on a shelf. But do not take your faith or your confidence, your priority and your attention, and all of a sudden embrace this new and let go of your firm foundation, which is Christ Jesus. Because, family, who else has kept you to this point? Who else has brought you through? Who else has prospered you? Who else has healed your body? Who else has saved your children? Who else has kept you from danger? It wasn't anything new age. It wasn't anything alternative. It was the grace and the word of God. It was the shed blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us. The power in that blood is what has saved us and healed us and kept us and prospered us. And if you think I'm angry, no, I'm not. Hallelujah. But you've got to be convinced. You've got to be convinced. There is too much going on in this world today to lure and tempt and discourage people and cause them to turn another way and to let go of the firm foundation of Christ. And God says to this church today, hold fast to your faith. Don't you dare let go. Don't you dare embrace another doctrine that does not line up with the word of God. He's done too much for us to forsake him for something that looks better. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Verses 11 through 13, I'm going to get through this message in the Amplified Bible. Paul says, for which this gospel I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of this good news regarding salvation. This is why I suffer as I do. Still, I am not ashamed, For I know him, and I'm personally acquainted with him, whom I have believed, whom I have absolute trust and confidence in. Verse 13, keep and follow the pattern of sound teaching, sound doctrine, which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Every one of us who had a praying mother, a praying father, a praying grandmother, grandfather, neighbor, aunt, uncle, somebody who prayed us through our rebellious stages. Somebody who called on Jesus when we didn't have enough common sense to seek him for ourselves. We should thank God for those people, because that's what the Apostle Paul is saying to him. Hold fast to what you saw in me, Timothy. What I trained you in, don't let go of that. And this is a word of encouragement to parents, guardians. Don't give up on those children. I don't care what they're doing or what they're not doing. I don't care if they never call you again. I don't care what they've embraced. I don't care what they've said they don't believe anymore. You keep speaking to God about them. You keep talking God's word about them. You love them like God loves you. You look beyond the behavior and you declare what God has said about them and let God work on their behalf. Don't you dare let your children go. I don't care if they're 2 months or 97, if that's possible. You hold on to God's word about your children. Call them back to their righteous borders. This is a reference in Ephesians chapter 6. Write this down. We may get to this on Wednesday night. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. It talks about the armor of God. You know, sometimes there's some Christians that say, well, I don't feel that we're in a battle. God took care of everything at the cross. Well, let me ask you this. If that's the case, if that's so, why would God tell us to put on armor if we're not in a battle? Let me help you. Armor is worn in a battle. So if God told us to put on armor, guess what? We're in a spiritual battle. And what is the battle for? It's for our faith. Because the enemy couldn't keep us from being saved. But if he can water down our faith, if he can cause us to doubt, to relax our hold in Christ, if he can cause us to compromise and lay back and think this is easy, I don't have to do all of that anymore, how effective are we in the battle? We're no threat to his kingdom. But you let somebody be a blood-bought, washed believer, filled with the Spirit of God, who knows their authority in God. You let somebody get on their knees at 3 o'clock in the morning and call down strongholds and principalities. That's a bad somebody the enemy is afraid of. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 6. In my Bible, in the New Living Translation, it says, fight the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy chapter 6, we're looking at verses 11 and 12, still in the New Living Translation. But you, Timothy, are a man of God, so run from all these evil things. And the evil things are in the preceding verses that he's talking about what's going on in the culture they're in. Pursue righteousness and a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Say that with me. Fight the good fight for the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life which God has called you to, which you have declared so well before many witnesses. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. You think Paul wrote this yesterday, right? They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. Do I need to explain that? So, verse 4, they will reject the truth and chase after myths. Now, the King James Bible says fables. According to Strong's, a fable is a speech a word or a saying that is fictitious. It is an invention. It is a falsehood. And unfortunately, sad to say, many of what's coming from behind a pulpit or a platform is a fable. People have convoluted, watered down, and destroyed the integrity of the gospel, if you will, trying to promote it as their own project or agenda. Yes, we are the body of Christ and we are the righteousness of God. But when people start telling you that everything in life is going to be about prosperity, when people start telling you that anytime you're going through something, if there's adversity, oh, you miss God. Right. Now, I'm not saying that can't be the case, but let's qualify it. The Bible tells us there's going to be conflict. The Bible tells us there's going to be adversity. He tells us to fight the good fight of faith. Here is a man, the Apostle Paul. I'm jumping ahead, but it's necessary. Can you imagine Timothy, this young pastor in a vibrant, growing church that got all kinds of stuff in it, coming with people who didn't grow up in church, so they don't know they're supposed to sit down during the word. They're running around. People who are coming in trying to bring in all alternative mindsets and behavior patterns and things. Let's do this. No, let's not do that. And Timothy's trying to figure all of this out. And so he cries out to his spiritual father in prison. And his spiritual father says to him, hold fast to your faith. Don't let go of the sound doctrine that I taught you. Now, can you imagine? I say for me, if I were Timothy, I would say, wait a minute, you in jail. You in prison. And you telling me to hold on? Wait a minute, am I going to wind up that way too? I accepted God's call. Is this what's going to happen? But let's take a moment and look at the spiritual resume of the Apostle Paul. You know, when people are applying for a job and they send out these resumes and it tells you about their experience, their education, their background, their jobs, and all that they can do and their objectives and their goals. Well, you know, if we go through scripture, we can see the Apostle Paul's spiritual resume. And we'll understand a little better why he in jail could tell Timothy, hold fast. So let's start looking at the Apostle Paul's spiritual resume. I'm going to move quickly. Follow me. Philippians chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. I'm still in the New Living. This is Paul speaking. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. He's talking about his BC days. I harshly persecuted the church. As for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. Acts 26. This is Paul on trial before King Agrippa. This is what led Paul to go into prison in Rome. As for the Jewish leaders are well aware, I was given a thorough Jewish training from my earliest childhood among my own people and in Jerusalem. So what he was saying was, I'm not a foreigner. I came up in the same classroom with you. Drop down verse 9. Paul is continuing. I used to believe that I ought to do everything I could to oppose the very name of Jesus, the Nazarene. Indeed, I did just that in Jerusalem. Authorized by the leading priest, I caused many believers there to be sent to prison, and I cast my vote against them when they were condemned to death. Verse 11. Many times I had them punished in the synagogues to get them, get this, to get them to curse Jesus. That's the enemy's plot. That's his tactic. Get them to curse, to renounce, to turn away and let go of their faith in Jesus. I was so violently opposed to them, he's talking about Christians, that I even chased them down in foreign cities. Verses 12 through 15. This is Paul's salvation and his calling. One day, I was on such a mission to Damascus I was armed with the authority and the commission of the leading priest. About noon, Your Majesty, because he's talking to King Agrippa. As I was on the road, a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shone down on me and my companions. We all fell down, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is useless for you to fight against my will. Who are you, Lord? I asked. And the Lord replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Drop down verse 16. This is Paul's commission. Now get to your feet, for I have appeared to you to appoint you as my servant and witness. Tell people that you have seen me and tell them what I will show you in the future. Verse 17. And I will rescue you. So God's telling him, you're going to go into captivity because I'm going to have to rescue you. I will rescue you from both your own people and the Gentiles. Yes, I am sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes so they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Drop down to verse 21. This is Paul's charge. Some Jews arrested me in the temple for preaching this, and they tried to kill me. But God has protected me right up to this present time, and I'm declaring this to you. Whatever adversity you face for the name of Jesus, whatever opposition comes up against you, whatever challenges your faith, God will protect you. You don't have to declare your righteousness. God will protect you. Now, where was I? But God has protected me right up to this present time, so I can testify to everyone from the least to the greatest. I teach nothing except what the prophets and Moses said would happen. Verse 23, that the Messiah would suffer and be the first to rise from the dead, and in this way announce God's light to Jews and Gentiles alike. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. We're still reading through Paul's spiritual resume. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. This is Paul's commitment and his conviction. He's talking about all the things that he once acquired, his position as a Pharisee. Think about all the things that we've acquired. All the wealth, the notoriety, the prosperity, all the comfort, the cars, the homes, the travel, the trips, all the benefits we have. And if today Christ said, I need you to step away. Something to think about. So this is Paul's charge. After all of his accolades, all of his history of where he came from, Paul said, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Can anything compare with your salvation? Can anything you can acquire or have or get or do, can it compare with the intangible value of our salvation? Can anyone else go into hell for you? No, let me ask you, is anyone else going into hell for you? So what is there that we have or would acquire or walk into or could obtain that would be worth us letting go of our faith in God and in his word? So listen to Paul's commitment and conviction. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I became righteous through faith in Christ. That's the only way we are made righteous, by our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, verses 12 through 14, still in Philippians. Paul says this is pressing towards the goal. Verse 12, I don't mean to say that I've already achieved all these things or that I have already reached perfection. If you're still in this human suit, none of us have reached perfection. There's going to be more we can learn. There's more that we can grow in. There's more that we can develop in. I don't care how well you know the word. I don't care how long you've been saved. There's always room for growth, developing, and maturing as long as we are on this side of Calvary. But Paul says, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. Verse 13, no, my dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it all, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race. Is that what you're doing? Do we press on in the face of the difficulties, in the face of the hardships, even in the places of victory, even in the places of wealth, even in the places of good times? Do we still press on to reach the purpose for which Christ died for us to be saved? Because if we stop at any point, we forfeit our place in the race. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, verse 14, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. 2 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul's highlighting here some of what he's endured in his holding fast, in his accepting the call and the commitment. Second Corinthians 11, I apologize. 2 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 27. I'm still in the New Living Translation. So there were some other believers that came in and tried to entice the Corinthians to tell them that they were more super spiritual, that they had better accolades and they had done more for the cause of Christ. And so Paul is listening to them and looking at them like, are you for real? Oh, they did so much for cause of Christ. Let me tell you a little bit about what I've gone through. So Paul says, are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped more times without number, faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Anybody got this resume? Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea, and some of us think we are really suffering for Christ. It tells me, Dolores, shut up and keep going. Verse 26, I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities and in the deserts and on the seas. And I have faced danger from men, listen to this, family, who claim to be believers, but they are not. That's a different lesson. I have worked hard and long. I have endured many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty, and I have gone often without food. I have shivered in the cold and without clothing to keep me warm. Now let's listen to Paul's epitaph. And that's his final statement of closing on his life. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. This is Paul, after all he's experienced, after all that he's walked through, after all that he's endured, after all that he's given his life for the gospel. This is Paul's final life statement to his son Timothy, verses 6 through 8. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. He had to stay in it to finish it. I have kept the faith. Verse 8, Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who loved his appearing. Listen to that verse in the New Living Translation. As for my life has been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. So he stayed in the battle. I have finished the race. He completed his course. And I have remained faithful. That is why the Apostle Paul could say to Timothy, hold fast to your faith. Because this was a man in the pattern of Jesus Christ who followed the course. And yes, there were some places that were hard, but he was doing the will of God. And I'm sure that even in that Roman jail, scripture doesn't tell us, but Paul was flesh and blood just like us with the Spirit of God in him. And I would like to think that at some point Paul may have said, Lord, really? Really? But what is recorded for our encouragement, what is recorded for our instruction is hold fast. It's not that God's denying the stuff is coming. He's telling you I'm with you in it. And I'm not about to let you go. That is why the Apostle Paul could tell Timothy, hold fast. And I believe the Spirit of God is saying to us today, in light of the conflicts, persecutions, disappointments, challenges, adversities. Hold fast to your faith. Hold fast to your faith in God's word. God is going a little further and he says, I don't know who else this is for, but receive it. God says, hold fast in the assignment that I've called you to. Even when it appears this assignment is more than you think or feel you want to deal with. God goes a little further and he says, hold fast to the promises that I've made to you, regardless of how long it's been and how it may look like it's never going to come to pass. God says, hold fast. God goes a little further and he says, hold fast to the vision that I've shown or given you. It is not your responsibility to make it happen. It's God's. He only requires us to remain committed, to remain obedient, and to remain focused on him. So whatever or wherever you are in your Christian journey, be it short or be it long, be it smooth or be it rocky, be it full of supporters and encouragement, or be it full of haters, and it seems sometimes that it's only you and God alone. God says, hold fast, because what I promised you, I'm going to bring it to pass. And I'm not forsaking you. God says, hold fast, family. When you hear contrary things, when things just don't make sense, and it seems to be taking too long, and you say, God, I can do this another way and I can do it quicker. God says, hold fast. Stand steady in what I've given you to do, and don't back off of it. Because what I have begun in you, I am faithful to complete it. I know what I have placed in you, my children. And that is what I'm going to draw out. But I need you to stand steady in the face of it. I will prove myself on your behalf. No, it's not the way you think it should go. But it's not about your logic. It's about your faith in my plan. Because I have a purpose for your life, God says. And I will fulfill that purpose as long as you will stand steady and you hold fast. Thank you.
I'm going to unhook here. We'll pick up on Wednesday night with Stand Steady. But I believe God has spoken to us today. God has spoken to us today. And he that hath an ear, let him receive the word of the Lord. Take it in, family. It's for every single one of us. Doesn't matter what your position is in the battle. Doesn't matter what your position is in the family. He's not talking to leaders only. I don't care. It doesn't matter if you have a title, if you're a student. Doesn't matter if you're the housewife and you feel like I should be able to do more than this than just change diapers and wipe dirty noses. Doesn't matter. God's value in you is great. He still esteems you great. I'm trying to unhook. I'm trying to unhook. So what do you think I'm not doing? Tell me that, says God. What do you think has not happened that I can't take care of? So what is it that you are unwilling to let go of for what I've called you to? Is that that much greater than me? Am I not worth it? Yeah, I know, I know. Everybody else seems to be moving at a faster pace. Everybody else seems to be stepping into their destiny and there are things happening for them. And you say, but God, what about me? And I say, hold fast, my child. I've got you at the pace and the place that I need you to go. For there is much yet in your journey. And I am preparing you and strengthening you and sustaining you as we walk the journey together. So don't think that there's something that I forgot. I know all. But I require you to go back to the foundation of your faith, the very same faith you used to receive me, Christ Jesus. That faith you hold on to. And with your mouth, you declare who I am and what I have promised you. And watch and see. Watch and see. You will look back over the journey and you will say, aha, I didn't realize, God, you were taking me around so that I could go up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my plan. You may not know every step, but I do. So I'm asking you to hold fast. Take your time and trust me. Don't be in a hurry. And when I say move, move at the pace I give you and don't go beyond that. There's a relationship. Oh, my. There's a relationship that there's a question about. Should this be? And God said, did I give it to you? Did I establish it? Do you have my leading in it? And regardless of how good it looks, regardless of how profitable it is, if I didn't establish it, you're going to be the one that has to maintain it. Oh, yeah, I'll help you. But you're at a place now where you need to stop and check in with me and ask me, Father, do I move forward in this? It's too important for you to act like you can make this work. It's your life I'm talking about. It's your future I'm talking about. It's your purpose. Oh, my. Come here, Jaira.